Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good middle of the night, wherever you may find yourself around the world. Welcome back to Develop Art, and thank you so much for joining us. Christian, as ever, from Brighton. And today we've got a very interesting interview on teacher well-being. Now, teacher well-being, I think, is important at any time of the year, and perhaps particularly during busy periods in the Northern Hemisphere and in the UK, where I'm based, tends to be the summer. And teacher well-being tends to be off the agenda when things get busy during that summer period. And yet that's when we most need to think about it and address our own needs as teachers. So we're going to hear from Elena Onchevska, who I recently saw delivering a workshop at IETEFL 2019 with Sarah Mercer, who's Professor of Foreign Language Teaching at the University of Graz in Austria. Elena will tell you about where she's based and what she does. The theme was drawing on positive psychology to support language teacher well-being, and it formed part of a teacher development SIG special interest group showcase day. So here we are, over to Elena.
I'm currently based in North Macedonia, and I teach at the university in Skopje, the capital of Macedonia. Most of what I do has to do with supporting pre-service teachers. So I work with student teachers who are soon to become practicing teachers. But I also teach EAP modules, etc. However, the bulk of my work is to do with supporting teacher learning.
Super. Okay. I recently saw you at IETEFL 2019 in Liverpool with Sarah Mercer, and I understand you also published an article recently in the Teacher Training Journal, which was called Positivity for Teacher Wellbeing. So perhaps more from a personal perspective to start with, why did you decide to focus on teacher wellbeing?
I suppose the main trigger for my interest was Sarah Mercer's plenary talk at IETEFL 2017. I've always been interested in psychology and how it feeds into education, but she alerted me to an area that I hadn't previously consciously considered. So I became really interested in how our well-being links to what we do, and reading more and more about it, I came to realize that it's really the foundation of all we do. Sarah Mercer, for instance, sometimes shares the story, I mean, the parallel, the metaphor of parents looking after their kids in case of, God forbid, emergencies on airplanes. Parents are always advised to put on their oxygen masks first before supporting their kids so they can support them better. And I think that the analogy goes for educators. Our well-being really needs to be up to scratch if we are hoping to support our learners as best as we can.
That makes sense completely. You say it's the basis of all we do, teacher well-being. In terms of research out there, can you give us some background as to why this is an important issue?
My impression that well-being is so crucial to everything we do is very much comes from the literature. It's linked to how teachers perform in their jobs, how their students perform. So it's directly linked to, the research directly links well-being to student performance. It makes sense how we feel, for instance, how we feel about our jobs, our life. I suppose it's contagious, you know. Motivation is contagious. The same goes for demotivation. I suppose our learners can tune into how we are. And, you know, if we don't put our full selves into what we do, I suppose that's visible for them. I feel that if we experience personal issues, they are likely to leak into our professional life. So the best way forward, surely, is to look after ourselves as best as we can so that it can reflect into the jobs we do.
You seem to be very much focusing on the positive angle, quite rightly so. The research that you mentioned in your article seems to suggest that teacher burnout is on the increase. Is that so?
Very much, and not only in Europe, but globally as well. For instance, recently I met some really interesting Australian colleagues, and it seems that teacher resilience is something that they focus so strongly on in Australia. So it's surely not only a European phenomenon. Dropout rates are high, and I suppose it's unsurprising because being a teacher comes with the obligation of taking care of the well-being of so many students in our individual classrooms that we teach. So we are in a way responsible for the well-being of many, while at the same time having the opportunity to communicate closely to very few colleagues, you know, only during breaks and during the time we spend our staff rooms. So it's potentially a solitary job, yet we are charged with looking after so many people. It has its peculiarities, I suppose, and that's why even research suggests that teachers are more likely to experience burnout than other professions, you know, and they quote these same reasons: institutional pressures, very little influence on how things are done. Obviously, this depends from institution to institution, but the researchers seem to have identified some general trends. Heavy workloads, often spilling from our professional into our personal lives, etc. So yeah, all of that can lead to burnout. And I suppose looking after ourselves as early as possible in our careers can be one way to prevent it or prolong it if it really needs to happen.
And as a corollary to that, apparently there's very few courses out there, professional development courses at least, focus on teacher well-being. So this is what you decided to do. Can you tell us about the approach that you decide to adopt on the course and why?
Yeah, we share your impression that there are very few professional development opportunities out there with a focus on well-being, even though our well-being research suggests is so fundamental to our practice. So we decided to offer just that, see how it goes and whether we can, in a way, fill the gap with regard to professional development opportunities. And out of the two main approaches suggested in psychological literature, one being with a focus on alleviating the consequences of stress, and another one being focused on preventing stress to start with by, as I say, looking after ourselves and focusing on the positives rather than dealing with the negative consequences of stress, we decided to offer just that, a positive approach to prevent damage to our well-being due to professional and personal factors. I suppose the professional and personal is so often intertwined and difficult to consider separately, really.
Exactly.
So yeah, we decided to focus, to take a positive psychology approach for a change in a world that's so focused on the negative, you know, just start reading the news and charged, very negative focus to life becomes apparent. We decided to focus on the positive and explore how it can help us.
So what a wonderful idea. More power to your elbow. So what was the course called in the end, Elena, and who signed up for that?
The course was called Positivity for Teacher Wellbeing. And we designed it for language teachers in mind, in our case, English language teachers, because I suppose I have access to English language teachers, and this is the kind of audience that responded to our invite. A total of 31 teachers initially signed up, and 22 completed the course out of the 31. We expected some kind of a dropout rate because it was an intense course, a four-week course that took place in the midst of a very busy semester for teachers. Also, we were aware that teachers lead very busy lives. We expected that only those who are very motivated to finish the course will see it through. Interestingly, all of the teachers were female. This is something that we were going to look into, you know, in terms of the causes, etc. We are looking at the data, all the data that the course produced, and we want to make sense of why things happened, how they happened, how we could do things better in the future, etc., etc., attracting a more diverse potentially audience.
Do you think women may be more interested in their own well-being?
It's too small a scale, our project, to make any generalizations from. But yeah, I suppose we'll wait for the data to tell its story, and maybe we'll have another chat after that with some more informed assumptions about what went on.
Okay, super. And As I understand, it was an internet-based course, right?
Yeah, it was purely online.
What kind of input was there and what were the tasks that you included?
So we decided to go for an online format because getting people together face-to-face is a lot more difficult logistically, especially, as I said, with teachers' busy lives and schedules. It's really difficult to bring people together in one place on multiple occasions. So we split the whole course in 4 different weeks. The usual format was that we organized the weeks around Martin Seligman's PERMA model. P stands for positive emotions. E stands for engagement. R stands for relationships. M stands for meaning. And A for achievement. So Martin Seligman believes that at the heart of our well-being are these 5 components. Actually, later on, they added a 6th component. I'll come to that in a second. So he believes that in order to be psychologically sound, to feel psychologically healthy, we really need to experience positive emotions, be engaged in what we do, you know, feel really involved in whatever we do, experience positive relationships, take meaning from what we do. So we need to see what we do as being meaningful and worthwhile. And finally, we, in order to thrive, we really need to experience success, that we've achieved something at the end of the day. The 6th component that they added later is vitality. So they believe that in order to be psychologically healthy, we really need to also look after our body, because we are body and mind. These things are so closely connected that we can't cater to the psychology without catering for the physicality of our bodies as well. So we allowed this model to inspire us and to help us structure the 4 weeks. And so we started with a webinar, actually, where we focused on the P of PERMA. And then we focused on the engagement, relationship, meaning, and achievement in the weeks that followed. We talked about vitality throughout, in a way. So it was a component that got discussed as part of all the others, really. So we started with a webinar. This is a webinar that Sarah delivered, and it gave us a nice overview of the field of positive psychology, of well-being in particular, and our rationale for the course, what the participants should be hoping to get out of the course and how to make the most of it, etc. And then each week we prepared some readings for our teachers, some input that had a format of either readings or watching some videos. There are wonderful talks. You can share links with this if you would like to pass them on to your readers. With regard to some useful talks on the topic, for instance, there are many TED Talks that are definitely relevant to some of the aspects of well-being. We felt that they were not going to be overly academic and therefore potentially dry. So that's why we chose some more popular talks to attract and hold the teacher's attention. So there was input that we shared on an online platform, which the teachers went through in their own time so that they could do this whenever in preparation for the week. And then we discussed some aspects of the readings within the forum. So there was an opportunity for teachers to make sense of what they've read, of what they've watched. Then each day we emailed the teachers some daily tasks that were directly relevant to the week's input. And they would go away and do the tasks in their own time if they felt the tasks were relevant. So since this was a quite intense activity, you know, getting a task in your inbox on a daily basis, we urged the teachers to be selective if they needed to be selective about these, because, you know, we didn't want to put unnecessary pressure on them and potentially miss the point. We were still trying to improve their well-being rather than stress them out by overwhelming them with tasks. So we did urge them to do as much or as little as they wanted to. To do these tasks, these were individual tasks, we encouraged them to start a well-being diary. So they reflected on these tasks in their own time individually. We encouraged that the format should be inviting, because when you write, you know, the quality of the focus you have is different to when you just think about things casually and, you know, therefore get interrupted by other thoughts, etc., etc. So we hope that writing would help them focus better and reflect, you know, produce better quality reflection as well.
Pretty much like a teaching diary, it slows you down and encourages more reflection. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. So apart from the forums and the daily tasks, we also encouraged weekly reflections, which the teacher shared with us so that we could see how the teachers felt about what was going on and whether we could, whether we needed to tweak some aspects of the course to make it more practical, more relevant, etc. for them in the week that follows. There was an end of course reflection, and we use some of this data, as I said, to take stock of the whole course and see what could be improved if we were to deliver it again for a different cohort.
To make it real for our listeners, would it be possible to give us an example of a task that you used on the course?
So, for example, in week two, while focusing on engagement or experiencing this real intense involvement in what we do, as part of the input, we decided to invite the teachers to do a survey called VIA, VIA survey.
And we'll include the link with the podcast, sure. Yeah,
it's a really interesting survey, which I think your readers might well be interested in doing, because yeah, it helps people identify their main character strengths.
I actually did this survey myself. It was very interesting. There were some qualities within the top five, for example, that came out for me. Yeah. Bravery, forgiveness, fairness, kindness, appreciation of beauty. All in the top five. But interestingly, my love of learning was way down at number 14 or 15, I think.
Sure. Some of our teachers had sometimes worries like that, you know, very similar worries to yours. Why is my, you know, a certain character strength lower than they expected?
And humility was the very bottom, apparently, as well.
Oh,
dear. So you use this survey as a springboard to an activity, as I understand. So if our listeners could do that VIA survey, it only takes about 10 minutes or not even that. That would be useful first.
Yeah. So we followed up this experience by two daily tasks. These are the individual daily tasks that our teachers reflected on in their well-being diaries. So one example task would be as follows. We asked them, of your five main VIA character strengths, which would you say is your signature strength? So being, you know, reflecting on one out of the five that you feel that is your signature strength, and why they think this was their strong point. The literature suggests that reflecting on our positives can really boost our well-being. So this was one way for us to achieve that aim of supporting teachers' well-being by shifting the daily usual focus, which is not always positive, to something that they should be feeling proud of. We sometimes forget to stop and think about what we did well, because I suppose it's the human psychology to focus on how we can improve. We always focus on what we did wrong and how we can fix this. I even suggested this myself throughout the course, because I'm relying on the data to let us know how we can do this course better next time. And it's normal. It's how we work. You know, it's a survival mechanism to try and constantly improve, and that's why we try to fill in this gap of focusing on the positives for a change in order to feel better about ourselves and improve our well-being that way.
I think as teachers we're very much encouraged to better ourselves the whole time, aren't we? And that puts on incredible pressure.
Exactly. So yeah, it's not only ourselves who put the pressure on you on us, but also the world around us.
I find courses like this very inspiring, and the fact that they're beginning to be integrated more and more into education, and that these things are coming to conference more, as well as the talk you did with Sarah Mercer, for example. There was a talk on including mindfulness in English language teaching. It's really, really positive. Yeah. How has the course been received? What was the feedback?
From the end of course questionnaires that we conducted, we get the impression that the teachers really enjoyed the course and benefited from it. I suppose the most well-liked aspect was the forum discussions, the webinars, the daily tasks. The teachers really enjoyed the company they had. So they had each other to discuss things together. Just feel that they're not on their own on their well-being journeys, you know, because developing, you know, working on your well-being on your own can be a solitary experience. Being able to share your experiences, how you felt about certain activities with others, I suppose, was well appreciated. Some people liked the individual tasks, and some of them managed to do virtually all of them. They were really interested in having a go at many. Others who didn't have as much time or interest decided to focus on some, and it's interesting that some of them decided to repeat some of the activities, some of the daily tasks that worked for them. For instance, the gratitude task was very popular. You know, in one of the tasks, I suppose you'll be talking about this later on, that we invite teachers to think about a few things that they're grateful for. From teachers reflect on the day and single out a few things that they're grateful for. Some teachers, we noticed, decided to develop this kind of task into a well-being habit on the very course and beyond as well. We had webinars beyond the course just to check how teachers were doing after the course was finished, and they did say that some of the tasks stayed with them and they still practice some of the well-being habits that were introduced on the course, etc. Feedback was very positive. Some of the aspects that the teachers struggled with was potentially the intense pace of the course at times, even though we suggested take it easy, you know, pick and choose, etc. Those ambitious teachers that wanted to do a lot felt that doing tasks on a daily basis might have been a bit much. From the data that still is only preliminarily analyzed, we feel that the response was very positive. We are very, very happy for it, because we put in a lot of effort to design the course, and to hear that it was useful for some people and it made them feel better in their personal and professional lives makes us very, very, very excited.
Super. Well done to both you and Sarah. So what's next for you, Alina?
I suppose I can't wait for the summer to arrive so that we can delve in the data that the course produced. We have so many reflections to go through and make sense of. Hopefully we'll write up some of the findings, and I'll share a link to that text. I'm sure you'll be interested in following up on that. Other than that, I'm just generally looking forward to learning more. I find that the area of psychology the discipline of psychology has so much to offer to us educators. And I'm looking forward to learning not only more about positive psychology, but, you know, psychology in general, to see how it can inform what I do so that I can, again, teach to the best of my abilities. And so that my students' potentials are as well catered for as they can be, really.
Thank you. Keep feeding back the research. It's been so useful, so interesting to hear from you. Good luck with your ongoing work.
Thank you so much. It was lovely talking to you.
Have a great summer, and thank you so much again for joining us. Well, I don't know about you, but I found that very interesting, both personally and professionally. Personally, I know I need to keep topping up my own well-being, not just during busy periods, of course, but throughout the year, inside and outside the workplace. And professionally, of course, I would very much like to take part in such a course, or indeed set up a course like that within the teacher cohort I work within, and wider perhaps within the teaching community. There are many resources out there on mental health and in particular teacher well-being, and in fact, I've just found a fascinating site recently, English UK. We'll post the link. Somebody called Phil Longwell, an English language teacher, has been doing quite a few webinars based around mental health within teaching. If you can catch Phil Longwell, I highly recommend him. And we'll post other resources there on the podcast link as well. So I'd like to end, if I may, on a practical exercise, which indeed Elena and Sarah, her colleague, suggested. There's a wonderful site called gia.berkeley.edu, where they suggest many practical activities. So this is one entitled Three Good Things. So think of three things that went well for you today. Either write down those three things or record them on audio and provide a little explanation as well as to why those things were positive for you. Record what happened in as much detail as possible, including what you said or how you felt, what others said, or what was done. And explain why you think this event came to pass, what caused this event. So I hope you enjoyed the exercise, and with practice it becomes easier, something you could do every morning before you get out of bed or at night before you go to sleep. And the link for that activity will be also posted with the podcast. That's all from us. And thank you so much for joining us. Like us if you like us. Follow us if that makes it easier for you to. Take care and be well. Bye now.